Let's go to Ephesians 6. We've been talking about the dynamics of faith and moving mountains and the different process involved. Sometimes just employing one of these will get the prayer answered. Where I want, but what I'm looking for with God is consistent operation in the kingdom of God. I don't want to hit it and then miss, hit. I want a repeatable operation in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God operates by spiritual law, just like the earth operates by natural law. And if we understand the laws that govern the kingdom, we'll start hit, maybe miss, hit, maybe miss, hit. Amen. I want to hit a home run every time I get up to the plate. So to do that, we're talking about the spiritual laws, and I'll repeat them to you. Ask, well, desire first, desire or need, then ask, then keep, guard, then release, loose, manifest, interact. Did you get all that? Anybody have any questions so far on that one? That's only about 7 messages taught on that, praise God. So if you didn't get it in that 5 seconds, I understand. But today we're going to talk again about the shield of faith, or we're going to talk about the part about guarding. And in Mark 11:24, it says that you believe you receive when you pray. We're learning we ask once, but boy, we got to learn. Now, where do you receive that? He says, then you shall have. Receiving is not the shall have. Receiving is in the domain of the kingdom of God within you, passing in review. When we ask, we believe we receive. God actually transfers the jurisdiction of what you asked for into your domain. That's why that step is so necessary, that we believe we receive. When we pray, we receive it into the domain of the kingdom of God is within us. Why? Because God does not bypass human agency. He's not going to bypass. He's got to move through human domain. Human agency. So he transfers that there first. And he transfers it into the kingdom of God within you. You got a whole kingdom in you. So you got a big old kingdom within you. That kingdom can handle a lot. And so when you receive it, the next phase, the most important phase of all of them, before the shall have, before the manifestation phase, is the phase of keep. Or guard. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. Say all. I love that word, all. All diligence. That means not when you feel like it. I mean, there's diligence, and then there's all diligence. There's maybe if I feel like it. There's I feel like it. There's I'm going to do it. Then there's diligence. Then there's all diligence. If we're like, maybe I'll do it if I feel like it, man, you got a long way to go. We got to go to all diligence with this. Keep it, for out of it, your heart, flows the issues of life. That word issues means source. Your heart is not the source, contrary to what New Age would have you to believe. But God transfers everything. He is the source, but he uses human agency, so he transfers in to the domain of God. That's why he said, keep your heart, for as the man keepeth his heart with all diligence, out of it will flow. Everyone say, out of my belly shall flow. As a man thinketh, or the structural belief system within him, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is his environment. You cannot change somebody's exterior environment very long if you don't change them within. There must be a structural shift. So in this phase of keeping, there's several things that we do. But the most important is when those deposits are made, we must learn how to keep them. Because what the Bible says? The devil cometh immediately to steal, kill, and destroy. He can come, and he's after it, and he's going to use doubt and unbelief to do it. That's why generally, when you start operating in faith, you generally will have a circumstance arrive very quickly. You have an unusual circumstance arrive. Man, you can go along doing things your way, doing things, and all of a sudden you get all stirred up because some pastor on Sunday morning got you excited about faith, and you decided to write you out a petition. I believe I received it on November 26th at 12 noon. I got it. Father, I got it. I believe I received a kingdom within me. And all of a sudden, some kind of circumstance just gets thrown up in your face. Why? It's like when God told Paul to go to Rome, that Euroclodon hurricane wind came at him. That's when you're going to have to learn to keep and guard. If you don't, your words will start agreeing with a circumstance. And as soon as they do, the enemy has the authority to come and snatch what was sown into you. That's the only way he has authority. There's two things that give him authority. Your words, your belief system, or your actions. Because you get in the flesh with the things of God, you can bind that thing to the earth. If your actions produce an action of flesh, you can bind that request, and whatever is bound on the earth will be bound in heaven. Or through doubt and unbelief, the lack of diligence of guarding the heart, guarding the deposits from heaven before manifestation, the enemy has the authority to come and steal it. So we need to learn how to build a shield around that deposit until it gets into the earth. Sometimes those deposits will come one day. Like Jerry, sometimes they take a little while. You can't put a time frame on them. Although when you get in faith, you'll get so charged up and say, I believe I'm going to have it in 7 days. It's okay to do that, but if it doesn't show up in 7 days, say, I believe I have it in 7 days. But you have received it. Now from that position, remember we talked earlier how you're raised together in Isaiah 51. Now, I want you to go back there for a moment. Stay in Ephesians 6 for a minute. I want you to look at Isaiah 51 and 6. I just saw this yesterday. I'm really excited about it. He says, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. Isn't it amazing the transition that here you are in the natural. It says, look your eyes up to heaven. You see, he moved out of the domain. And then he looks on the earth beneath. You see that? From that position is that third or fourth phase where you actually loose that deposit into the earth. Whatever you loose on the earth, loosed in heaven. Where are the keys of the kingdom? They're the keys of the kingdom. I give you the keys of the kingdom. Where is the kingdom? In you. Where does the keys function? From the kingdom of God. So if you loose from the kingdom, you're in a position of the kingdom. You follow me? And you're looking at the earth from a different perspective. Don't go operating in the earth and expect these keys to operate. You got to move into that heavenly domain. And then you loose from that place. Now, that's another message altogether. I want to get back to this guarding the heart with all diligence. Ephesians 6. Oh, Lord, help me. Why is there never enough time? Above all. Uh-oh. Man, I'm getting into these alls. He says, keep your heart with all diligence and above all. I imagine we're in the right place when God says, above all, and keep your heart with all diligence. Now he's going to tell you above all, here's how you're going to do it. Above all, Ephesians 6, 16. Above, everyone say all. I love that word all. Taking the shield of faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all. Say all the fiery darts of the adversary. Any of those darts ever get through? If they're getting through, we haven't learned enough about how that shield works. Now, there's something I was watching the other night. They had this show on about Moses. It was like a modern day show of Moses. And it's really interesting because they were doing something. I never saw this perspective. And while they're in the wilderness, they were teaching them how to wield their sword and their shield. Now in the Charleston Heston Moses, he was always that, you know, that glorified Moses with a long white beard, you know, and everything. But reality was that these guys had been slaves for 400 years. They weren't allowed to ever touch a sword. And when they got out in the wilderness, they had no government. They had no army. They had nothing. For 40 years out there, they were learning how to operate as a people and a government. But more importantly, I saw they were out in the wilderness. They were learning how to raise their shields and how to swing a sword. You never see this with the children of Israel, but you see them when they go to battle. They have to actually learn how to wield a sword. And the Bible said the battle's mine, but you're going to have to use your sword. See, we get the idea that God's going to go defeat all our enemies and we're going to do nothing. Imagine children of Israel, and God said, now go and take down the Amalekites. Remember when Moses lifted his arms, and when they came down, when they were lifted, Joshua was winning. They were out there with sword in hand. Before they ever got in the wilderness, they weren't even allowed to touch a sword. Never even knew how to wield one. Now they're having to not only use that sword, and just imagine if you were Joshua, and you went out there in the valley of Rephidim, and you were fighting against Amalek. Well, God's going to fight my battle today, sheath. Father, I thank you today. You're going to fight all my battles. And I'm just going to sit down here and let you do this. And here's that guy coming with a sword. You're just going home early. That's all there is to it. You're on your way. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. No, God gave you a sword. But you know what happens? Because we get born again in a slavery mentality. We have a sword, and God's expecting us to learn how to use that and learn how to use the shield. And we don't. We're out in the battle. We're saying, God, help me. He said, yeah, grab your shield right there. Grab it. Wait, he's looking down from me. He goes, grab your shield. Help me, God. Your shield right there next to you. And that sword, pull it out. Just pull it out. Yeah, but no, I want your help. The shield. Pull the sword out, put the shield in your arm. You saw 300 Spartans, go. We don't do that. He says, raise your shield of faith whereby you can quench all. I said, God, what is it about this shield? Now, I'm going to spend the next part of this sermon. Now, we went into this Thursday, but I'm going to review Deuteronomy 6. Then I want to get to Luke 18 today. So Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. In review, verse 6. Deuteronomy 6, 6. I'm going to give you a few things that are going to allow your shield and your sword to be very productive. Because if you don't raise this shield of faith around your heart and around these deposits, they'll get stolen and they'll become a trophy in the enemy's trophy room. More things. I have determined not to allow anything to be stolen. Do you get discouraged? I feel the feelings of it, but I don't let it govern me. And I don't stay under it very long, because if you sit up under an atmosphere like that, you'll start agreeing with it. As soon as you get the poor me attitude, or woe is me, or self-pity, as soon as you move into that dimension, the enemy goes, snatch, I'll take that. We learn to get things when we were children through self-pity. That does not work with God. Self-pity does not move heaven. Need, no matter how fierce and how deep, does not move heaven. We don't even know need. Samson has seen need. You go to India, you'll see great, great need. But faith will move heaven. Actually, heaven's already moved, but faith gets you plugged in to a kingdom that's already moving. Amen. So, Deuteronomy 6. Whew, I love this. We have to raise the shield around our faith. This part is so important. And most people don't understand what this shield is. I'm going to try to tell you what it is in the next 15 minutes. This part, say the most important part of it. You'll spend more of your time in this part right here than any other. Manifestation takes like that. Asking takes like that. But this part of keeping and loosing is where all your time is spent. And you got to get. You may have been the children of Israel. You've been delivered from Egypt. You've been wearing that sword. And you don't even know how to wield it. You must learn how to pull that thing out and build and raise that shield and build an atmosphere around your life. You have to keep this atmosphere if you're going to see consistent results in the kingdom. What we're trying to do is get out of the natural and function from the position of the kingdom. Amen? Deuteronomy 6. And these words that I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Where did he say? Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it, where the word of God was sown in the heart, Mark 4. When you ask, where is it you believe? You receive, then you shall have. You receive it into the domain of your heart, into the kingdom of God within you. You have to, these will be in your heart. You got to keep it in your heart. You have a responsibility if you're going to operate in faith to keep your heart at a certain level. If you don't, and you allow your emotions and the prince of the power there to pull you down, see, there's a certain level every one of us have. Some of you are prone to just stay up. For the most part, most of us are not like that. Most of us gravitate this way more often because the constant pull. And so we have to learn to stay up. There's a place we cannot sink below. Every one of you know what I'm talking about. If you allow your emotions and your mind and the circumstance to bring you below a certain part, you will start talking and agreeing with everything that's presented around you. And when you do, everything in the kingdom starts getting snatched out of you. There is a position we have to stay up. We have to keep our faith up. We have to keep the word of God in us. I encourage every one of you, before you start wielding the sword of the Lord, don't wield the sword of the Lord on an empty stomach, on empty spirit. You have nothing in your cup and you're trying to administrate the kingdom and you've got an empty cup. You're up there trying to fight spiritual forces and you're empty. You got to fill yourself up. You have a responsibility to eat daily. Say, eat daily. Does everyone feed your body daily? Your spirit's got to be fed, especially in this area. Now, if you're contending on a financial mountain, you need to focus on the financial inheritance from the scripture. It requires focus. Focus. Everyone say focus. If you're going to bring something forth from the kingdom, it requires a whole lot of focus. Don't get distracted everywhere. If you don't get the money thing fixed, you're going to struggle all your life. In ministry, in business, in family, if we don't get the money thing fixed through focus on our inheritance, we're going to struggle 20 years from now. There is no magical white horse going to come and deliver you. Because if you don't get fixed inside, even if the white horse comes, what's working on the inside you will resow itself. Your atmosphere will be resown in the earth. So what I encourage you to do is take scriptures or teachings or the particular parts of the word. If you like to listen to the word, then get teachings and listen to them. Consistently. Why? You got to keep your spirit up. You can't start wielding the sword on an empty spirit. You got to have something in your cup before you release it. Amen. You feed on the word. If the words, I remember the day I could pray all the time, but the word was real hard for me. Can you believe that? I'm a teacher of the word, but the word was super hard for me. I'd open the word and I'm like, I'd just fall asleep 5 seconds. But man, I could pray for hours. But opening the Word of God, But what I did is I started listening to tapes. And I like tapes, so I'd listen to them a lot. And I got a little thing in my ear. One, I'd go to work and I'd put that one of those with a little wire in the back with my ear. Look like I was Secret Service, you know. And I have a cassette player and I just play them all the time. Nobody even knew. Just had it going all the time. They had no idea because I could listen with one ear and listen and operate. And I started listening to it over and over and over and over again. But I was filling myself up. Amen. They shall be in your heart. Oh, dear Jesus, I got to get through this. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by thy way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Talk, speak all the time, four times a day. We are admonished to speak what's going on inside us. You don't learn to do this, there'll be no atmosphere erected for the kingdom of God. And what's working on the inside of you will be stolen. It just will. I'll show you that in a minute. I'll guarantee you this, the enemy will present you a 24-hour circumstance, 24-hour-a-day circumstance. What are you doing to defend that? What's going on inside you? All he wants, see, he would rather you never get one answered prayer from heaven and know why it was answered. You know why? Because once you do, like Pastor Chuck got that $24,000 breakthrough last week, he got so excited. He goes, oh my God, it works. He called me, it works, it works, it works. And I, after he calmed down a little bit, I said, this is more important, Chuck. Do you know why it worked? Do you know what made that happen? He goes, absolutely. I said, that's more important because that's repeatable. And that's what the enemy wants to stop. Once you understand and you get it once, woo-wee! Boy, is that exciting. Talk. Speak. Speak. And not grow weak. Bind them upon a sign upon thine hand. I always carry things with me. I'm believing for the Mount Hebron inheritance. We had a lady from Israel go drive over there. It took her 4 hours. And it was a war zone over there, and she got us dirt from that mountain. I want that, you know, I just wanted to point of contact. There's nothing in that dirt. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the patriarchs are buried in there, but other than that, you know, they're all buried in there. But it's a point of contact. I keep it in my hand. I hold it as a point of contact. This is my mountain. The spiritual foundations of this mountain are in me, and they're working in me. They're mine. Just talk of them. Now listen to this. Bind them. Talk of them. That should be on the frontlets of thine eyes. Bind them to the frontlets of thine eyes. You must learn to get that word in the exterior perimeter of your life. You've got to create an atmosphere. You must do this. Learn to do it. I'll show you in a second. Write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. You must write something down. That's why in the petitions we encourage you to write out a one-page petition. Carry that thing around with you. Make it nice. Sign it. Put a date on it. Put a scripture on it. Mark 11:24, I believe I receive when I pray. 1 John 5, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he heareth us. And if he heareth us, we believe we receive those things that we've asked. And then somewhere in Isaiah says that he shall answer us before we call on him. And then find one scripture. If you're believing God, the out of debt, owe no man anything but to love him. How about this one? You shall be a lender in the earth and you shall not borrow. You are the head and not the tail. You are above only and not beneath. Amen. Now I'm going to close here in a minute, but I want you to go look at Luke 18 because I'm just determined with all determination to get over there today. Amen. So go to Luke 18. This is awesome. I'm going to share this with you in 5 minutes. Lord willing. Say, Lord willing, I believe in miracles. He can do it. Say, Father, grant him that miracle. Luke 18, verse 1. This is awesome. Get this part. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. See, if you faint, or if you give up, or you get discouraged, and you allow yourself to drop down, the enemy will snatch that out. We're not a people that's going to happen to anymore. Don't stand in front of Amalek when they got swords drawn and said, well, my God's going to help me today. And he draws back his sword and you're saying, my God's going to help me. And he slices you right down the middle. Well, my God is going to heal me now. He went from the God that helpeth to the God that healeth. My God will raise me. I'm flat on my back, bleeding. My God will raise me up. I shall see my God in the land of the living. Saying, there was a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Is the judge God? He couldn't be God, because he didn't fear God, didn't regard man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming to me, she weary me. You got a judge, you have a widow, and you have an adversary, three people. The judge did not fear God or regard man, so he's not God. The widow is your faith. She needs a judgment from heaven. All right? The adversary, we already know who he is. So who is this judge that does not regard man, or God or man? Who is this judge? Whatever he decides to rule on, that's who's getting the goods. And what does judges do? They look for evidence. Right? The widow woman's bringing evidence. The adversary's bringing evidence. Whoever brings the evidence, the judge is going to rule in favor. Now, notice the widow woman, the judge ruled in her favor because she wearied him by continual coming. Continual coming. See, there is a part of your faith that has to be continual. All right? Now, this really is all transpiring on the inside of you in your belief system, because God moves through your belief system. All right? And what's happened is, let's say you believe you received the kingdom of God within you, and all of a sudden the adversary starts coming with a circumstance. He's coming, says, nope, it ain't going to happen. Not in this lifetime. It's not going to happen. Now, who is the judge? He doesn't regard man or God. I want to submit this to you, that your judge is that part of your belief system that's combination with your soul. Now notice about thing about your mind, will, and emotions. Your mind, will, and emotions have to come in to agreement with your belief system. Now here's the thing about mind, will, and emotions. They can sit here in church, bless God, your soul. You can get up in here and worship and hallelujah, glory to God. And then go right outside those doors within hours. If you allow your soul, it can go and serve the world system just like that. Just like that. It's shifty. It moves like this. It's whoever's pulling on them. How many of you know when you ask God and believe in God for something, the enemy starts jerking your chain? Why is he doing that? He's trying to draw that part of your belief system, especially your soul. He's trying to pull that over into his court to get you to agree with the atmosphere and the circumstance he's presenting to you. Why is he trying to do that? So he can get you to agree. And as soon as he gets your agreement, he'll snatch what's going on inside of you out. He'll snatch it. That's mine. Thank you. I'll take that. Now, notice this widow woman. I'm closing here, but I want you to see this. Notice this widow woman. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her by her continual coming. Say continual coming. This woman was determined. She troubled. Man, we got to let our faith start troubling our life. Our faith needs to continually come, continually come, continually come. We got to continually speak the evidence of God. We got to continually bind the evidence of God into the frontlets of our eyes. We got to continually bind the evidence of God into an atmosphere around our life. Continual coming, continual. We got to outdo what the adversary is bringing. Until the judge says, look, I give up. I'm in your court. And as soon as your belief system shifts over, all things are possible to him that believeth. He said, if you say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and not doubt in your heart. See, your widow woman has to trouble that part of you so much that it comes over and says, look, I rule with you. There's no more room for doubt. And as soon as that alignment takes place, that release from heaven starts the manifestation phase of what you've been believing for. You widow woman needs to get rolling. She needs to get active. She needs to have some continual coming. Everyone say continual coming. That means you got to do something. Interact with a promise or the deposit of God on the inside of you. Build an atmosphere around you that agrees with heaven. This part is so important. If you're going to receive from heaven, you've got to keep this place. We have to learn to master the domain of our heart and keep an atmosphere around our life. The way you do that is a process of seeing and saying and agreeing with what God has said. To do that, you need some tools. That's why God requires that you write it. Because as soon as I go ask that I'm free of debt, Father, I believe I receive that I'm free of debt. And I believe I receive this amount to pay my debts in full. Just as soon as you do that, you'll probably get a phone call. The IRS. Oh, you, by the way, you're late, you owe us, and you got penalties. Just as soon as you do it. Why? They want that deposit. The enemy wants that deposit in you. And you've got to build. So when they do that, when you start getting under the circumstance, stay with me. Everyone look at your neighbor, say, stay with him. I'm about to learn something. When you get in that position, it's real hard to pull that stuff out of you. Oh, I think I need to pull that scripture out of me. That's real hard to find that when all that stuff's fighting you. Where is he fighting you? He's fighting the exterior, but he wants inside. He wants to paralyze, neutralize. He wants to paralyze that deposit. And why? That's why it's good to write it down. So when you're going through it, you look at what's written. Say, no, this is what God said. Right here, it is written. Sometimes you literally have to get that page and go like this. I don't care what I see, feel, or hear. I don't care. This is what God says. And you walk around with it. Oh. Until your feelings and emotions shift. Man, if you ever learn to take authority over your feelings and emotions and mind and shift an atmosphere that's being presented to you, if you just lay down when an atmosphere comes, you're going to get beat up a lot. I want to say it again. If you lay down when the enemy brings an atmosphere around your life that's contrary to what you ask for and what you're believing for, he said, well, I'll just take it on the chin today. You're going to get beat up a lot. Your first name will be endurance because you will learn to endure, but you're going to get beat up a whole lot. I want to move from endurance to victory. I don't want to just learn how to endure. I've done that. We've done that. We've got the t-shirt. In fact, we wear 5 stars on our chest and say, look at what all I've endured for the kingdom. What have you won for the kingdom? What mountains have we moved for the kingdom? I don't want to just endure them the rest of my life. I want to move something out of the way. And to do that, I am going to have to master the atmosphere of my life. That means I'm going to have to confront something that's going to confront me tomorrow morning. What am I going to do? Because it's coming. Don't even think it won't. Well, I just want to be a nice Christian to show up in church 30 minutes, and you're way past 30 minutes. You're in the right church. Say, I'm in the right church. When that atmosphere comes, I'm going to give you this, and I'm closing. Maybe. Listen, when that atmosphere comes, how many of you know what I'm talking about when the atmosphere comes? There ain't nobody in here that haven't dealt with that. Those atmospheres are demonic. They're not normal. What comes against you is not normal. Don't even think what came against Paul was normal. Nobody has three shipwrecks. That's like getting in a plane and three times the plane goes down. Nobody has that. That's not normal. That's a demonic entity creating a demonic warfare around your life to steal you. You say, why does he bother? Like David when he's in the wilderness, he says, I'm but a flea. Why does he bother with me? Because there's a king on the inside of you. And the devil knows it. He wants to stop that king now. He wants to quench it before it ever comes forth. Everyone say, there's a king on the inside of me. If I ever learn how to operate in the kingdom, I'm going to be one Rambo nightmare to the devil. I'm talking Rambo nightmare. When that atmosphere comes, you better have something that can cause that shift. What are you going to do? Just take it? Well, I'll just think I'll go watch a movie today. That's escapism. Escapism will only get it off of you for a second. Well, we'll just go watch a movie. Or do I just need to go get my nails done? Get me a pedicure, I'll be okay. Not men, but ladies, you know. Just give me a pedicure, Lord, I'll be fine again. Sozo! Lord, I need a sozo! Man, if we got to do 10 sozos to get a mountain moved over your life. Sozos are good, but you're going to have to learn to still deal with the atmosphere. You're going to have to learn how to turn that emotion when it comes, because it's coming. That atmosphere is coming, and it's going to start twisting up the emotions. It's going to be contrary to everything you asked for, and it's going to play a video screen in your head why you can't have this today, tomorrow, or any other day. Why you can't have this today, tomorrow, or any other day. And he puts it on repeat. You got to have something around you. That's where you have to have it written down. You got to have something in the palm of your hand. You got to have it ready. And you got to learn to put the word of God in your mouth and speak it. But not just that. You got to learn to get into your heavenly priesthood. That's the time you employ the Isaiah 51, what we talked about. 6, lift up my eyes to heaven until I look down on the earth beneath. I'm getting out of that system because I'm going to administrate from my heavenly priesthood. And you move into that dimension. Father, I thank you that I'm your portion. I am the lot of your inheritance. I am the apple of your eye today. And today is the eagle spreading her wings. Take me today, bear me upon your wings, lift me today, Father, into my high places, for you maketh my feet like hinds' feet, you setteth me, I'm set today into the high places of the Lord. I'm made to ride in the high places of the earth, I'm made to sit in the high places of the earth, I'm made to walk in the high places of the earth. You got to get out of that circumstance and start administering from that priesthood, and then when you get into that realm, then you start speaking back into it. You'll move the mountain effectively when you get in the spirit. You face that. I got all my debts are in a little green folder and they stay on the floor. They never move off the floor. They're in a green folder in my prayer closet and they're on the floor. They stay there because I stand on them a lot. I take my position. Mammon, you're under my feet. No more thy name shall be seen or sown again on my mountain. Your defense is parted from you. You are bread for me this day. I belong to another kingdom. I break the curse of the earth curse system off of my life, off of my generation, my seeds, natural and spiritual. You start learning to do that a little bit. Stir yourself up. All of a sudden an atmosphere shifts. And the lion of Judah will come out of you. Don't go lay down with a lamb when you're in the middle of a warfare. I think I'll put some nice soft music and lay down with the Lord. Oh, I worship you. Get you feeling really good, but you'll never move a mountain. You're going to have to get the lion of Judah. I'm closing. You got to get the lion of God to come out of you a little bit. It means speak and not grow weak until you get into a rhythm and a realm with God. Oh, Father, I'm the head. So you move into that dimension. I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath, Father. I walk today upon my high places. Today you maketh me to ride. You feed me with the increase of the fields. The increase of this city is flowing through my gates. The increase of this city is flowing through my business. All my pastors are in the high places of this nation. All of my pastors are in the high places of the earth. All my pastors, Father, in the high places. Father, I thank you. You encompass me about today with favor. Every place, the soles of my feet. Today, I'm walking in favor. Mine inheritance is built upon the foundations of your right hand and arm. The light of your countenance and your favor. Light me up, God. Light me up today. By you, I run through the troop. By my God, I leap over the wall. I run through doubt and unbelief. I run through. I leap over the walls of resistance. Well, you can do that or just take it on the chin. Haven't you figured out the devil's not going to leave you alone? You think you're going to wake up one day and you're done? He's done with you? He's going to leave you alone? You think that one day you're going to wake up? How many have walked with God for over 25 years? Raise your hand. Does the devil leave you alone? You know, no problems ever? How many of you learned in those 25 years to take it on the chin? I got a lot of those chin wagons. But now we're going to move the mountain. I make you a new, sharp, threshing instrument, having teeth, and I thresh the mountains, and I beat them small. Amen. God bless you. It's our pleasure serving you today.